Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
I've said it, I'll say it again. His disciples stole his body. It's that simple. You don't have to believe it. They just did what they had to do to support their myth. Except the idea of them taking the body is almost as ludicrous as what actually happened. Okay, you see this? This is a Roman seal. Now, it may not mean much to you, but when I use this to seal anything, whether it is a letter, a deed of property, or a tomb, it means everything. Whatever has this seal on it is under the supreme authority of the entire Roman government. So, these religious leaders who had this guy, who had Jesus executed, they were just convinced that his followers were going to steal his body and try to convince people that he resurrected from the dead. So they demanded that Pilate seal the tomb. That's where I come in. So I sealed it with the full weight of Caesar himself. Then there's 16 of us standing arm's length apart surrounding the tomb, right? And so this idea that we dozed off and they stole the body. Do you know what happens to a soldier who falls asleep at his post? Best case scenario, he is beaten, burned. In all actuality, what would have happened is all 16 of us would have been executed. So no, as the story goes, we did not fall asleep and they did not steal the body. But I was paid good money to tell that story. How am I doing so far? You want to know something that is crazier than that story? That morning, the earth began to shake under our feet. And then this enormous being appeared. It doesn't matter how hard I try, I can't do it justice. All you need to know is this. When I looked inside that tomb, that man who I'd seen executed in the most brutal crucifixion I'd ever witnessed was gone. So why are the 16 of us still alive? I'm telling you the real story. The truth is, he wasn't just gone. was alive. He is alive.
Well, happy Easter to you. My name is Mitchell. If we haven't got the chance to meet, I get to be one of the pastors here at Legacy, and we're so glad that you chose to be here with us today to celebrate Easter. It is the most significant day in Christendom. For Christ followers around the world, today we are celebrating the most significant act in human history. Jesus, who was crucified on Friday, is alive on Sunday. The story is now flipped. The script has been flipped. The world has been shocked. And today we celebrate that. Recently, I was coming across an article by BuzzFeed called I Can't Unsee That, and it had 25 hilarious tweets that you can't unsee, and several of them sort of caught my eye, beginning with, did you know that Fred from Scooby-Doo is actually wearing a jumpsuit underneath his sweater? Okay, you get it now. This is, you know. Can't unsee that. Or did you know if you turn a dollar bill on its end, you see Batman's face mask and his car, the Batmobile? Okay. Cannot unsee that. And the one that just totally shocked me the most, I really cannot unsee this, is on the front of a bag of Tostitos. Have you ever noticed that it's two people eating chips and salsa in the middle? How many of you honestly have noticed that before? Okay, tell the truth. This is Easter. Okay, most of us, raise your hand if you've never seen that before. You're seeing this, you're struggling right now. You're in a fog. You may not ever eat a bag of Tostitos again because you cannot get past two people eating chips and salsa in the middle of the logo. I cannot unsee that. Well, what we just saw in the video was a depiction of one of the Roman guards who was tasked with guarding the tomb of Jesus. And he had that sealed, and at the end of the video, he broke. And that was kind of the summary of his comments about what happened on Sunday morning, was that all the preparation, all the precautions that they took to prevent a resurrection still didn't work. And when he looked in the empty tomb, to this day, or to that interview, whatever you want to call it, he could not unsee that. Because it is a visual image that not only stays in our minds, but impacts our hearts and changes our life. And maybe you're here today and church is not a thing for you, and you're still skeptical, you're not even sure about this whole Jesus thing. I want you to know right from the outset that if the resurrection did not happen, this is just a social gathering. That if the resurrection isn't true, what we say, if you're not a Christ follower yet in the room today, if the resurrection didn't happen, then you have my permission to ignore everything else that we say. But I believe the resurrection did happen. We have an account from it, not just in Scripture, but outside of Scripture, from first century historians who saw how Jesus' followers lived their life. And one of their many thoughts was, if it wasn't true, if they were trying to cover this whole thing up, if this was just a big scandal, then why would they give their own lives for it? You know, why would you give your life for something that was just a fraud? That's the way that Jesus' followers lived, because they knew that the resurrection meant that they were to live their lives and ultimately give their lives for the cause of Jesus. And they could not unsee that which they had seen, a resurrected Jesus who they called Lord and Savior. There's an account in Matthew 27. It'll be on the screen if you have a Bible with you. You can turn there or on your phone. Matthew 27, the end of this chapter is sort of like the in between. It's the Saturday after Jesus has been crucified on the cross, Friday evening, 6 p.m. Then comes Saturday, says, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. So the religious leaders huddle up. They have a meeting with the governor. They say, sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. I was reading about this week, and something just sort of popped out at me in my study that's never I've never looked at before. And archaeologists have discovered a long time before now, but it's most likely that the tomb of Jesus was not a disc. You know, we might think of it like a disc form, and it's sort of easier to roll. Archaeologists now say that it is most likely that it was kind of in the shape of a cork, where you couldn't just easily just kind of roll this, you know, down a hill. And in fact, the tomb was on an incline. So if you were going to pull off a heist, you know, Ocean's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, what are they on now? Like 18, 19, I don't know. Ocean's 11 and beyond style, that you would have had to have pushed the stone up a hill. Now, I personally cannot do that. There are a few people that could possibly with a few. No one could come and roll the stone by themselves, okay? This is a 2-ton, they say as heavy as 2-ton stone that they would have had to have rolled up the hill. The religious leaders took every possible precaution to prevent the resurrection of Jesus, because the resurrection was the end-all, be-all event. Like, if that happens, for the religious leaders who hated Jesus anyway, to add a resurrection on top of that, in which, you know, you can tell that they hated him because they said, the deceiver. The deceiver. Okay, that's a little bit of insight. Not well-liked. If the resurrection were to happen, that was the end for them, because there would be no reply. That was the ace in the hole. If Jesus comes back from the dead, we're all going to retire as religious leaders, because that will be the ultimate worst case scenario, worse than the first. See, they hated his claim with passion that he was the Son of God. And then it says, this last deception will be worse than the first. So this would be the absolute worst. And the tomb was sealed with a moldable clay, with the, as you saw in the video, the Roman imperial seal on it, which was attached to a rope. And that seal carried the full weight and authority of the Roman Empire. And so if anyone were to break the seal of the tomb, they would suffer death, including the guards. And you thought your boss was a little bit hard driving. That's the kind of stakes that we have here with the tomb and with the seal. One commentator said, the greater their precautionary care, the more fully is revealed the power of the resurrection. These guys were no dummies that guarded the tomb. The Roman Empire was not just this makeshift sort of group, and oh, they forgot to send someone out to guard the tomb that day. I gotta get a new scheduling system. They put everybody on this job because this was the most important thing, to guard the tomb and make sure that no one came to steal the body. Because nobody believed that there would be no body. Let me say that again. Nobody believed there would be no body. Because the truth is, if the resurrection is true, everything changes. Everything changes. If the resurrection is true, everything changes. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes to a group of Christ followers in the city of Corinth, and he says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Basically, in my version of the scripture right there, it says, if Jesus has not been raised, we all just need to go home. That's what Paul's saying. If the resurrection didn't happen, then like I said at the top, you can ignore every other claim of Jesus. You can ignore every single thing that Jesus said if the resurrection is not true. But, that's what Easter Sunday really kind of is. It's the whole da-da-da-da-da-da, but on Sunday, everything changed. Because if the resurrection is true, everything changes. Pastor and author Tim Keller says it this way: the issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. So it doesn't matter, even if we all say, hey, Jesus was a nice guy, Jesus, well, he was like this religious leader, and he said some nice things, and he loved people so much, he even died for them. But if the resurrection is not true, we can ignore all of that. It's not enough that he's a nice guy, or that he said some nice things, or did some nice things. It all hangs on whether or not he rose from the dead, as he said he would. Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So early in the morning, very early. Verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. I don't know if that thing, whole thing about you can't wear white until after Easter came from Matthew 28. But if you notice, our worship pastor is wearing what I call now resurrection pants. It's now acceptable. He is risen. Now you can wear resurrection pants. The guards, verse 4, were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And I don't know if the guards knew that, you know, when you see a grizzly bear, you're supposed to like stay still and pretend you're dead, or I think it's you make yourself bigger than you appear, one of the two, but you're not supposed to move. They were scared to death, probably because they knew they were done, because nobody equals, you know, I'm out, literally. They're going to kill me. And then when you add in the angel showing up, rolling back the stone, and just sort of sitting on top of it like, yeah, what's up? What's up now? He's back. That's what the angel said. You didn't know that? He's back. So the guards became like dead men. The angel said to the women, verse 5, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. The resurrection changes everything because the resurrection means that it's never over. It was not over for Jesus, and it's not over for you. Because of the resurrection, the marriage that you think is almost over is not over. The diagnosis you think that means it's over does not mean it's over. The fractured relationship that you think will never be repaired because of the resurrection means that it's not over. It is never over. Because of the resurrection. That's why it changes everything, and that's why it matters. You see, they came to the tomb expecting just to find Jesus' body still there, to care for it. The angel said, hey, I don't know what you're looking for, but he's not here. I do know what you're looking for, actually. You're looking for Jesus, and he is not here. Come and see the place where he lay. So I wonder sometimes if we're living like Jesus is still in the tomb, still in the grave. Meaning that we don't believe that we have the power to overcome all that life throws at us. in any situation, in any circumstance, in any relationship, in any diagnosis, in any loss, do we truly believe that we can overcome that because of the power of the resurrection? If it's no, then I don't know that we're living like Jesus is out of the tomb. We're living as though he's still in the grave. And we're bringing him those, you know, cheap little silk flowers. You know, just setting them down. That's why you got to have real flowers, okay? Somebody said, well, maybe we should get silk flowers. No, we should not get silk flowers. But we're bringing those little cheap little silk flowers like Jesus is still in the tomb, like he's still in there. Like, man, we really loved Jesus. And he had a great 3-year run, didn't he? Did some cool things. Hey, remember that water into wine thing? That was, oh, yeah, and the fish and chips thing? That was my favorite. Oh, what a great guy. And we set the silk flowers down. We sort of pause there and have a moment of remembrance for Jesus because he was just such a nice guy. And Jesus is like, hey, remember, I'm alive. I'm over here. I'm in the room. I'm in the room, guys. You don't have to talk about me like I'm dead. I'm alive. I'm right here. I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I'm suffering with you. I'm celebrating with you. I'm living with you. I'm living in you. I'm alive. It's time for the church of Jesus to live as though Jesus is alive. And not dead. So I want to ask you, what's the thing that's burying you and trying to keep you in the tomb? What's the thing that has got you buried in the tomb where you're not sure if you're going to make it next week or maybe the next day? What is the thing that's burying you or trying to bury you in the tomb so that you stay sort of just nice and, you know, secure? Is it that marriage that's on the rocks? Is it that diagnosis? Is it that relationship? What is it that's trying to bury? Is it that addiction that you're sure is going to take you down? The resurrection is more powerful than the thing that's trying to bury you. That's what I want you to walk away with. The thing that's trying to bury you, God is saying, hey, That whole rolling the stone thing away was not just a historical thing that happened. That is to ultimately display my power for all of human history. And whatever it is that's trying to bury you, God is saying to you, look, I'm still rolling stones away. I'm still rolling stones away. God is still in the business of taking the script and flipping it upside down, of taking our expectations and totally shattering them, of taking our disappointments and turning them into our purpose, of taking our mess and turning it into our message. God is still in the business of doing miracle, the miracle of all miracles, the mic drop, the ace in the hole, the thing that triumphs all other things. God is still in the business of rolling stones away. Do you believe that? I mean, come on now. Do you really believe that? Because when a small band of people believe that God is still in the business of doing the impossible, they can change the world and do anything with his power. So what is the stone that you're asking God to roll away? What is it for you? What is maybe you've been praying for a relative or a child to come to know Jesus for years and years and years, and that's the stone. And you're just giving it one more shot, man. You're giving it one more shot. You're like, God, okay, this is it. This is the last, my last, you know, last old college try. or that relationship that you think will never be repaired, or that loss that you just can't get over, the grief that just sort of buries you. God wants to roll the stone away. See, because the message of Easter, N.T. Wright says, is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it. See, God literally moved heaven and earth to be reconciled to you and to me. God moved heaven and earth to bridge the divide, to repair the relationship, to reconcile his perfect plan, which was to live in harmony with you, that we would live in harmony with God and with each other. That's God's perfect design. And brokenness has fractured that design. And that's what we're living in right now. We're living in the midst of brokenness that has fractured God's design. But God does not sit there and go, hey, Friday's not the end of the story. Friday is not the end of the story. Sunday is really not the end of the story either. Because Sunday is like, boo, climax of the story. And then there's going to be another chapter in which Jesus comes back and repairs all that is broken. Listen, even if you're not a Christ follower in the room, we can all agree that there's a lot of brokenness around. I mean, we just have to look around for 1 second. There's a lot of brokenness. We don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers as to why that brokenness exists. But I know that the cross is God's way of saying it's going to be okay. That in his divine love, that is the biggest piece of evidence of God's divine love in the midst of, or against the backdrop of those deep questions that we ask of why do things happen that happen? Why does God allow suffering? Why is there war and famine and injustice and poverty? But against that backdrop, God shows his divine love for us. That he takes upon that weight upon Jesus. And in Jesus' death, we actually have life. And then on Sunday, it is the validation of everything that Jesus said. But if the resurrection is true, it requires a response from us, doesn't it? We can't ignore it. We can reject it, sure. We can reject Jesus' resurrection. We can say, nope, not having anything to do with him. We can reject it or we can accept it. We cannot simply ignore it. And that's what I want us to do today. I want us to know that there's literally nothing that God will not do. Nothing that God cannot do or won't do to bring us back to himself. And I don't know if you're here today because it's just something you're supposed to do and someone promised you a nice brunch afterwards and that's really why you're here. And I get all that. Listen, I mean, nobody's fooling me there. But maybe just for a moment, you think, man, what am I going to do with the resurrection? Because we cannot ignore it. And I want you to know that God deeply loves you. Jesus' death and resurrection is the whole crux of the message of Christianity. His life and death and resurrection, and that's it. I mean, I know Christians, we've screwed up a lot. Pretty soon after he ascended, it was like, oh, you know, they were still staring at the sky waiting for him to come down. And he's like, go! Go and do something. You're staring here waiting for me to come back. I've already ascended. And they were like, so listen, I know that Christians, we have messed up a lot. And many times, Christians, we are known more for what we're against than what we're for. It's time that we are known for what we're for. Let me tell you what I hope we're for. We're for each other. We're for this community. And we're for the glory and fame of Jesus. And we're not for political and social arguing and all that stuff on social media and in the all these other arenas. That's a distraction that the enemy wants us to get sidetracked on. We are called to be for one another and for this community and for the fame and glory of Jesus Christ. Because he is risen. Okay, one person got it. Okay, let's do that again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen. And so maybe today, this Easter, could be the day that changes everything for you, because the resurrection changes everything. Because if it's true, Jesus deserves nothing less than our full allegiance to say, "All hail King Jesus, maker of heaven and earth." That's who we worship. That's who we worship. So God moving heaven and earth changes everything, not just for humanity and all creation, but for you. And maybe today can be the day that changes everything for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in our weakness, Lord. Father, we try to live life on our own strength and talent and abilities. And Lord, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to try to live life on our own ability. Lord, we want to submit to you today. That because of the resurrection, we are changed. Everything changes. So Lord, let us live as people who are living with resurrection power. That Jesus is not in the grave, that he is risen. And that it matters and that it changes our life. And let today maybe be the first day for some of us in the room, Lord, that are maybe even here reluctantly, but we hear you speaking to us right now. And even right now, Lord, as the enemy tries to distract us or move us beyond that, there's nothing that the enemy wants less than a group of people who live with resurrection power, who submit their lives to Jesus as King Jesus. So God, help us. Help us to be people that submit to your will for our lives. We become people who bring heaven to earth because we live with resurrection power. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.